Thank you everyone again for joining us tonight. This is part two in our Miguel at Root series. Just to know, each part is going to be standalone, but obviously will be enhanced if you heard the previous Shiurim, but will definitely be understandable if you did not. So don't fear. And if you miss any of the Shiurim, like all of the Neely Shiurim, they can be found on the Neely website, which is torahchicago.org/Neely, or they can be found on YU Torah under my name. So thank you for joining us. Tonight we are discussing Naomi, who I titled this year Naomi, the Dynamic Matriarch. And we're going to be discussing what is Naomi's character. She seems to be the one consistent character that we meet at the very beginning that's still with us towards the end. And we're going to take a look at what defines Naomi and how through her lens can we understand the Megillah. So the Megillah begins, we started with the same psukim last time. Vayehi bimei shvot hashoftim, vayehi ra'av ba'aretz, vayelach ish mibeit lechem Yehuda lagor b'stei Moav. Oh, pause, sorry, I didn't, just in case anyone did not receive the source sheet, I'm going to put it in the chat right now. So I just put in the chat the source sheet for anyone who didn't receive it before. Okay, so we're in the first pasuk of the Megillah, and it says, "Vayehi bimei shvot hashoftim, vayehi ra'av ba'aretz, vayelach ish mibeit lechem Yehuda lagor b'stei Moav, hu v'ishto shemanav." So we're introduced to a family. Again, we have this family that left from Beit Lechem Yehuda, and they travel to Stei Moav. It says we have a man, his wife, and their two children. V'shem ha'ish Elimelech, the name of the man was Elimelech. V'shem ishto Naomi, and the name of his wife was Naomi. V'shem shtei banav, Machlon v'Kelion. And the name of the two sons was Machlon and Kelion, Afratiyim mi'Beit Lechem Yehuda. V'yavo Stei Moav v'yihyu sham. It says they came to Stei Moav, and they lived there. Vayamat Elimelech, ish Naomi, and it says that Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, which is interesting to note that he is called the husband of Naomi, dies. Vatisha er hi ushtevaneha, and she remains along with her two sons. Then Vayamat Elimelech, ish Naomi, Vatisha er hi ushtevaneha. Vishalu lahem nashim, V'isa'u lahem nashim Moaviyu, shem ha'achad Orpah v'shem ha'shini Rut. V'yashvu sham ke'eser shanim. So both of the sons marry after their father dies. They marry Moavi women. And they remain in Moav, married to these women, who are named Orpah and Rut. They remain there for 20 years. Ke'eser shanim, sorry, for 10 years. V'yamotu gam shnehem machlum v'kilion v'tisha'er ha'isha mishten yeladaha u'me'isha. And then, unfortunately, this woman's two sons also pass away. And this woman, and it says this woman remains from her husband and from her two sons. She is the only one remaining in the family. So we know that something is going on here. That this family left from Beit Lechem Yehuda. They come to Stei Moav. And all of a sudden, over the course of a number of years, they all pass away. So Rashi comments here, why does it say Ish Naomi? Why does it mention that very rarely in Tanakh does it say so-and-so, the wife of so-and-so, and that's how they are identified? So Rashi comments, Lama Na'amar, why does it say Ish Naomi? Mikan Amru, In Ish Mi Elo Li'ishto. So Rashi gives his first answer, is that the one who is impacted most by the death of a husband is the wife. Okay. Next comment of Rashi, V'sholet Aleha V'hi Taflalo. However, Rashi comments and gives another explanation and says, Ish Naomi, that Elimelech, that originally when he was still alive, Rut was kind of subsumed under her husband. That it says Taflalo, she was kind of negated by him, that she was irrelevant compared to him. Lachin pagabo midat hadin, and that's why he was punished and not her. So it was saying she's kind of subservient to her husband. She just went along for the ride. Naomi wasn't punished because it wasn't really her choice. She just passively went to Moav. So all we know about Naomi in the first place is she seems kind of like a tragic character. She, according to Rashi, is kind of dragged along to Moav. And once she gets there, her husband dies and both of her sons die. The Malbim comments there. Also, because we're trying to see, was Naomi part of the plan to go to Malav? If you attended last week, we said Elimelech was definitely guilty and was punished for going to Malav. So the Mefarshim are kind of trying to grapple with that as well. Was Naomi also guilty of having left to Malav? Was she punished for that? So Rashi says, no, she kind of just went along with the ride. She was passive, not punished for it, just kind of dragged along. The Malbim says, though, if you skip to the last line in the Malbim, it says, "V'tisha'er ha'isha, kihi lo hishtatfa b'chat'am, v'haya da'ata temid lachzor la'aretz Yisrael." The Malbim's a little more complimentary of Naomi, whereas Rashi seems to say she was just kind of nothing, she went along for the ride. The Malbim seems to say that Naomi went along for the ride, but always maintained the idea that she was going to return to Eretz Yisrael. That no matter what her husband or her son's plans were, Naomi always kept in mind that she was going to return to the land, even though she didn't. So at this point, we kind of have the image of Naomi that she is a very passive character. Whether she is slightly at fault for leaving or whether she is not at fault, according to the Malbim, both agree that she definitely did not stand up to her husband. And for whoever was here last time, and if not, I'll just do a brief catch-up, Elimelech is definitely blamed for going, and we say majority of the problem with him going is that he abandoned his people. So one would have hoped from a figure like Naomi, the wife of this important man, that she would have been able to stand up to him and say, I don't know if we should really be abandoning our people at this time. Should we really be leaving when they need us most? However, Rashi and Malbim both say Naomi didn't do that. Naomi passively went along with Elimelech's plan. And while they both say that therefore she was not entirely punished, while she doesn't die, she is left alone with no members left in her family, alone in the world. And especially at that time, a single woman really was abandoned if her husband and children passed away. So that's kind of the state we view Naomi in, that she's kind of passively being punished in the same way that she passively went along for the plan. So now I want to look at what changes. We know that the Megillah doesn't end here. So after that, there has to be some change. So what changes at this point? It says in Perek Aleph Pasuk Vav, Vatakam hi v'kaloteha v'tishav misdei Moav, ki shama b'sdei Moav, ki pakad Hashem et amo, latet lahem lachem. So it says that Naomi got up, she and her daughter-in-laws, from the fields of Moab, Kisham Abistei Moab, because they heard in the fields of Moab, Ki Pakad Hashem et Amo, that Hashem had remembered his nation, Latet Lahem Lachem, to give them bread. So one might have suspected that if Naomi's plan was to stay in Moab, and if the original plan when they had left was to leave Eretz Yisrael because there was a famine, and to return to Eretz Yisrael as soon as the famine had ended, the pasuk would have simply said, "Veshama Naomi kigamar ha'ra'av ba'aretz," that Naomi had heard that the famine ended in the land. That's what one would have thought, that famine began, so they left the land, famine ended, so they returned. However, that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, "Ki pakad Hashem et amo," because Hashem had remembered his people, Latit lahem lechem, to give them bread. The Malbim focuses on here, Raki shava mipanai ki shama b'sdei Moav ki pakad Hashem et amo latit lahem lechem, v'achar shehi lo yetzarak mipnei ha'ra'av. The Malbim says the focus of Naomi was that Hashem had remembered his people, not that he had finished the famine. That specifically that Hashem had remembered his people, meaning that Naomi had an idea that there was something greater going on there than simply a famine, a failure of the crops in the land. Naomi recognized that whenever there is a famine in the land, it is a product of Hashem's relationship with the Jewish people at that time. So I want to make a suggestion, and I'm going to try to prove it to you through the rest of this year. My suggestion is that there were two issues that were facing Naomi in Moab. When they left Eretz Yisrael, they went to Moab because there was a lack of food, and they feared a lack of continuity if they stayed in Eretz Yisrael. So they were experiencing two problems. They were experiencing a physical lack, And they felt that if they stay there, they may not survive, or they may have all their money taken from them, and there would be a lack of continuity. So they left to Moab. And in Moab, they found food and attempted to find continuity through marrying off their sons to Moabite women. Then Naomi's husband and sons pass away. And now she is in a situation where until now she has passively gone along with the plan. Elimelech planned to take care of their physical lack by leaving to Moab, and he planned to take care of their lack of continuity by marrying off his sons to Moabite women. But at this point, Naomi realizes that if she stays in Moab, she will be fulfilled in the form of physical sustenance. She will have what she needs still in Moab. However, she realizes that at this point, there is no spiritual continuity. There is no continuity of the Jewish people taking place through her if she stays in Moab. How can I prove this to you? So we're going to continue that through the rest of the sources. First of all, the language that Naomi specifically uses is Ki pakad Hashem et amo. If this language rings a bell to anybody, it may be from the story of Sarah specifically. In the story of Sarah, that Sarah does not have a child until she is 90 years old. And when she is 90 years old, the Malach comes to Avraham and says that Sarah is pregnant. And we know the famous story that they laugh, and it says, Ki pakad Hashem et Sarah. That it uses this language, that it says Hashem remembered Sarah and gave her children. Again, it might also ring a bell from Chana, that it says when Chana also comes into the Beit HaMikdash and she davens before Eli for a child so desperately, and when Hashem remembers her, it says Ki pakad Hashem et Chana, that Hashem remembered Chana. How did Hashem remember Chana? By giving her children. So we see this language that is used in the Pasuk, Ki pakad Hashem et amo, is a language of continuity, is a language of giving children and continuing the Jewish people. So what Naomi saw is she had an awakening. She said, what is not important now is the physical sustenance that I have here in Moab. But I realize that in order to continue the Jewish people, I have to go back to the land of Israel. There is no continuity for the Jewish people in Moab. We again see that in the speech that Naomi gives to her daughter-in-laws when she gets up to leave. Rut gets up. I'm sorry, I keep confusing Rut and Naomi. Two main characters, easy to confuse. When Naomi gets up to leave, she could very easily have said to her daughter-in-laws, please come with me. I am going to be a single older widow. I need any younger people to come with me that I can manage. You are the only people I have in the world. Please come with me. However, Naomi doesn't see this. She says, "Vatomer Naomi, shovna bnotai, lama telach naimi, ha'ol libanim b'me'ai v'hayu l'cham la'anashim." Naomi is focused on the continuity of her family. She says to her daughter-in-law, she says, "Why would you come with me back to Eretz Yisrael?" She says, "I have nothing for you." She doesn't say, "I don't have a physical way to sustain you." She doesn't say, "I don't have money." She says, "I don't have any more children for you. What's going to happen?" She says, she says, even if I were to get remarried tonight, what, you think I'm going to have new children that you're going to wait and you're going to marry them and continue your families through me? There's nothing for you. Return to your land. Go on and continue your families elsewhere. I need to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and there is no place for you to come with me. So again, Naomi seems entirely focused on the continuity of her family, and that's what's finally making her take action. That when she gets up and leaves Moab, she is saying, I've been passive until now. Until now, these things didn't really matter to me. Maybe I should have stood up to Elimelech before and said it's not appropriate to abandon Bnei Yisrael in a terrible state. But honestly, the physical sustenance didn't impact me so much. But once Naomi has this wake-up call and realizes that Hashem has remembered the Jewish people in Israel, she must return there in order to as well have this Jewish continuity. So now we're going to look at the subsequent prakim and see if this idea plays itself out. Is Naomi able to maintain this active nature once she returns to Eretz Yisrael? So we're going to look at Prakim Bet and Gimel, and Prakim Bet and Gimel parallel each other in structure almost identically. They both contain three episodes. The first episode is a conversation between Rut and Naomi. The second episode is, in both Prakim, a conversation between Rut and Boaz. And the third is, again, a conversation between Rut and Naomi. And in Perek Bet, it says in Rut Perek Bet, Pasuk Bet, Vatomer Rut ha-Moavia al Naomi, Eilechnas ha-Sadeh ve'al-Ketha b'shibolim, Achar asher emtza chim b'ina, Vatomer la l'chi biti. So in Perek Bet, they're dealing with the physical sustenance again. And Rut comes to Naomi and says, Naomi, we have nothing. Please allow me to go out to the field and collect for us so that we have something to eat. And Naomi says, okay, fine. In a very characteristic manner of Naomi, it's fine. When it comes to food, when it comes to physical sustenance, she's back to being passive. She's okay with whatever Rut wants to do. That's perfectly fine. And Rut does. She goes out to the field of Boaz. She collects the food and she comes back to Naomi and tells her of her success. However, when it comes to Perek Gimel, and Rut has this, and Naomi has decided that she has to take care of Rut continuing her family, she again takes the active role. It says in Perek Gimel, "Vatomer la Naomi chamota biti, halo avakish lecha manoach asher yitav lecha. I need to find you a way, a place to settle down. Va'ata halo ba'oz midatinu asher hayita et ne'arotav hine ve'ezorad el hagoren." Hasorim Halaila. She says, you should go down to Boaz in the Goren on the threshing floor, and you should come to him tonight. Urachatza v'sachatza v'samtam simotecha. You should wash up. You should dress nicely. V'yaradata ha-Goren. Al tivadi le'ish ad kalotu le'achol v'lishto. After he has eaten and he has drink, come to him, all washed and beautiful. V'yihi b'shachva v'yadata tamakom asher yishkav sham. Ubata vegalita margalota vishachafta vihu yagidlecha et asher tasa. You should come to Boaz tonight. And she says, in a very active way, unlike we've seen from Naomi until now, except when she decided to leave Moab, she says, Rut, I have a plan for you. You need to wash up. You need to go down to Boaz after he's eaten and drink. When he goes to sleep, you need to go uncover his feet and he will tell you what to do. So again, we see that when it came to a matter of food, Naomi was fine. Whatever happens, she is unconcerned with her physical sustenance. But again, when it comes to this idea that she needs to find a way to continue her family and continue the broader Jewish people, that's when Naomi decides to take this active role. And she is ready to say, Rut, I have this plan. It's a pretty audacious plan. But I'm telling you, this is what you have to do. And she truly takes action. So great, I've come up with this whole idea. But is there any other basis for this? Do we have any other characters like this that we can say there's this idea that sometimes someone can be a passive character in one area and an active character in another area? And what I want to suggest is that in this way, Naomi directly parallels the character of Esther. That Esther as well was unconcerned with her physical well-being, with her physical sustenance, but when it came to the continuity of the Jewish people, that's when Esther became active, and that's when she took a stand. So if we see in Esther Perek Bet, it says, "Vayhi omenet hadasa hi Esther bat dodo, ki ein la'av ve'im, v'hanara yifat tor v'yifat mar'eh, u'bimot aviha v'yima lakha Mordechai lo labat." So we're introduced to Esther as this character who has no mother or father, who was taken in by her, some say uncle, some say cousin, many explanations of the exact relationship between Mordechai and Esther is. But Mordechai adopts her. Vehi bishama davar ha-melech v'dato bikabit narot rabot al shushan habira al yad higayu tilakach Esther al bit ha-melech al yad higay shomer anashim. So it says that Esther is taken. In the most passive of language, v'tilakach, Esther is taken to the palace of Ahasuerus. So I want to pause for a second. I see we have a question. Is it possible that the ktiv in the first person, because Naomi's intention is that Ruth go to Boaz on Naomi's behalf to build up Naomi's family? Yes, that is a great point. There in that speech that we read from Naomi to Ruth, that she instructed Ruth to go down to Boaz, there are a number of kri uchtivs. And if you look at each of the kri uchtivs, you can read it that either Naomi is saying that Ruth should do it, or that Naomi is saying that she herself should do it, depending on how you read it. And this double layer leads us to believe that Naomi wants Ruth to do it on her behalf. So yeah, that would definitely emphasize even more so that she really wants to push the continuity of her family and she feels a personal interest in what is going to happen. Definitely, great point. So we're with Esther. That Esther in the beginning, when it comes to physically where she is, what she's doing, she is taken to the palace of Ahasuerus. And then we see as well in the continuation of Parak Bet, Ubehegia Torah Esther bat Avichail Dod Mordechai Asher Lakachlo Lebat Lavo Al Hamelach Lo Bikshad Zavar Ki Im Asher Yomar Higai Saris Hamelach Shomer Hanashim Vati Esther Nosat Chaim Beinei Kol Ro'aha. That Esther is taken to the palace, and even when she gets there, she doesn't ask for anything. She doesn't ask for anything to make herself less appealing to Ahasuerus. She doesn't ask for anything to make herself more appealing. It doesn't seem like she has a plan. She's kind of just going along for the ride, doesn't ask for anything, doesn't do anything, the ultimate passive character, dragged around, much as we see, like Naomi, who was also dragged to Moab, seems to just stay there with very little control over what's happening to her. However, we see in the famous interaction in Parak Daled between Esther and Mordechai that when the Jewish people are being threatened, Mordechai comes to Esther and he says to her, "Vayomer Mordechai lehashiv al Esther et tmadai b'nafshech al tidmi b'nafshecha lihmalit b'it hamelech mikol hayehudim ki im hacharish hacharishi b'it hazot revach v'hatzala yamod layehudim imakom acher v'ata u'b'it avicha tovidu u'mi yodea im la'it kazot higat l'machot." So definitely one of the most famous psukim in all of the Megillah. Mordechai says to Esther, he says, "Esther, I know the way you think. You think that when it comes to yourself, you don't really care. You can be passive." But he says, "Esther, please realize that you might think that this is just about you." But he says, "This is not about you." He says, "It might be that for this reason exactly, you were taken to the palace." So he says, "You might perish and not be the, it's not about you." He says, "You might perish if you go to Ahasuerus, but we need you." He says, "It's not a matter of just yourself. You can't think that you are just dealing with yourself and therefore you don't have to take action." He says, "Salvation has to come to the Jewish people, and who knows if it's for this reason that you are taken to the palace." And this is exactly the wake-up call that Esther needs, that she just needed to realize that this was not a matter of her saving herself versus her saving the Jewish people, that this is all in one, that she is the one at this time who has to represent the entire Jewish people. And therefore, Esther answers in the following pasuk, "Vatomer Esther lahashiv al Mordechai, lech knos akol hayehudim hanimtzaim b'shushan, v'tzomu alai, v'al tochlu v'al tishtu shlusha yamim, laila v'yom, and Esther says, "Mordechai, you've made me realize that this is no longer about me. If I go to Ahasuerus and I perish, I'm lost. Avadati, avadati, so let it be. But let me go on behalf of the entire Jewish people. That now I realize that I may be passive when it comes to myself, but this is not something that's about me. This is about the entire Jewish people." And therefore, Esther takes action. So we see that there's a precedent for this, that much like Esther, that we see as going from a passive character to an active character when it comes to realizing that the focus must be on the entirety of the Jewish people, on the Jewish continuity, then Naomi is a character much like this, that she also says that when it comes to herself, she's okay to be passive, but when it comes to the entire Jewish people and the continuity of the nation, that's when she realizes she has to take action. So what exactly is the lesson that we can take from this? How do we understand this, these character traits of Naomi to impact us and to impact how we can see the rest of the Megillah? So I want to end with a piece by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. And Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says, "Herein lies the ultimate question." He is writing about Esther. Sorry. "Herein lies the ultimate question. It is directed to each and every one of us. Let each person do as Esther did. Stand before himself. Stand before God. And once the situation is quite clear to him, ask himself, where do I stand? Who am I? What comes first? What is vital and what is secondary? This does not imply that what is secondary is necessarily unimportant. Esther's plan of being queen and ruling over 127 provinces certainly represented serious career considerations. The question is not whether one's personal plans are inherently improper. Rather, a person must ask himself not only whether what he is doing is good and worthy, but whether it is the best and most worthy thing that he could be doing. What I want to suggest, based on what Rav Lichtenstein said, is that Naomi and Esther were presented with situations that both, they were presented with two values. They were presented with values of maintaining their self-interest, and they were presented with values of maintaining the Jewish people. And both of them are important. We believe in preserving ourselves and working for what we need and fulfilling ourselves. We say that there are so many mitzvot in place in order to make sure that everyone has what they need, that each individual is taken care of. And we, as much as we know at this time, are instructed above all else to protect ourselves and our physical sustenance and our physical health. However, like Rav Lichtenstein is saying, sometimes you are presented with two good options. And Naomi was presented with two things. She was presented with physical sustenance, and she was presented with spiritual sustenance. And she said, I could stay in Moab and I could be physically fine, but what I really need is to choose the best thing to do at this time, and that was to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And we see that there were supporting characters to help her in maintaining her physical sustenance, but when she felt what was core and important to her was to stand up for her spiritual sustenance and for her spiritual continuity. So what I want to say is that what we're learning from Naomi is to be able to look at our values and say, what things are the most important to us? And there are some things that we're allowed to say in life, we're going to take care of them, but they're not going to be the most important thing to us. But we should make sure that there are those things we are passionate about. And there are those things that we're willing to take a stand about, and we're willing to take action. And I think if we look at the rest of the Megillah through this lens, we can look at the other characters and see how they succeeded and failed. We look at Elimelech. He was supposed to be the Parnes Hador. He was supposed to be the one that sustained the nation, that his role was meant to be giving tzedakah and saving others, and he failed at that. And then if we look at Rut, her main character trait, what she felt passionate about, was chesed, and she succeeded. What Boaz also cared about, he cared. He was the opposite of Elimelech. He cared about sustaining others, and he succeeded. So I think if we are able to take the lens of Naomi, it's the lens of values, and we're able to look at how everybody in the Megillah was either able to fail or, thank God, as we continue on in the Megillah, succeed in fulfilling and standing up for what they truly believe in. So thank you so much for joining this week. Next week, we're going to be continuing with Boaz. And thank you for the questions in the chat. I always enjoy when I see that people are participating. So thank you.